Talking Back. I'm your host, Dr. Paula Sperry. For the next half hour, I invite you to join me as we explore health issues in the news and learn from those involved in keeping our community healthy. Our goal is not to diagnose or to suggest treatment, but to celebrate your body's innate potential to heal itself. Well, good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Paula Sperry, and thanks for tuning in today to Talking Back. We're going to be speaking with Dr. Patricia Ballone about telemedicine, something new and interesting and coming our way real soon, right after these issues in the news. Over time, immune cells can become worn out and stop functioning at optimal levels. It was previously believed that there wasn't much that could be done to overcome this part from stem cell treatments. However, the latest research shows that periodic fasting cycles actually flip some kind of regenerative switch inside our bodies, altering the signaling pathways for hematopoietic stem cells, which create both blood and immunity. We could not predict that prolonged fasting would have such a remarkable effect in promoting stem cell-based regeneration of the hematopoietic system, says Longo, who holds a joint appointment at the USC Dorns Life College of Letters, Arts, and Sciences. When you starve, the system tries to save energy, and one of the things it can do to save energy is to recycle a lot of the immune cells that are not needed, especially those that might be damaged. So when we started noticing in both our human work and animal work is that the white blood cell count goes down with prolonged fasting. When you refeed, your blood cells come back. So we started thinking periodic fasting may help correct autoimmune disorders, including those brought on by vaccines. Well, that's interesting. Something new every day, isn't it? Like telemedicine.
Yes, like telemedicine.
Doctors used to come to the house. And that's kind of what the telemedicine is. Rather than the patient going to the clinic, the doctor can come to your house virtually at this point. Is that kind of what telemedicine is?
In the outback in Australia, they used to have to ride a bike at a great speed in order to make radio communication with people to be able to diagnose. And a lot of times, telemedicine first started out back in 1989 as a way when someone's having like a cardiac defibrillation, you know, when they're having the signs of a heart attack. Mm-hmm. And so it was a way to have somebody on a telephone with you. But it's bigger now because telemedicine is now video. You know, you have a video version when you're talking to a practitioner, or you're talking to, you know, a coach or somebody who's in charge, like a dietitian of some study, for instance, like in diabetes. They have studies that they use telemedicine specifically for that.
Mm-hmm. So this started in Australia.
Years, centuries ago in the outback.
Well, no, they didn't have telephones or televisions back then, so...
They had radios.
They had radios.
Two-way radios.
Oh,
and how
okay.
They powered two-way radios was by pedaling on a bike.
Oh, okay, so they pedaled a bike, on goes the radio, and they could communicate with their patients.
Right.
Wow, that's crazy.
I mean, you've seen them in the movies, like in the old movies.
You do?
Well, I've seen them in the old movies.
Okay.
I have a vision of them, like on the Three Stooges or something like
yeah,
that.
Right.
You know who those guys are.
Right, right. So what's your involvement with telemedicine?
I have been looking for a venue to deliver my coaching program with people, and I found a company that I really quite like what they deliver, and you know that they're HIPAA compliant, and, mm-hmm. and HIPAA just means that they're protecting your medical information.
In your privacy.
So I liked how they delivered it, because in their delivery form, you know, you can check in on people on a daily basis. People, if they're on a weight loss system, they can take pictures of food, and you can critique, you know, their meal for them. You can have interaction with them every day, and it doesn't take a long period of time mm-hmm. in order to achieve that. You can hold group classes in a telemedicine platform. And also in my instance, what I like about it is because I like to advocate for people. And so I can virtually be with somebody when they're in a doctor's office.
Oh, wow. That's true, huh?
Yeah, that's great, too, yeah. Because it's a lot of times patients have always told me and clients have told me that they forget what I told them to ask. And it was on that piece of paper that they left in the car. So if somebody's really trying to get to a specific point or ask a certain question, you know, it cuts the chase down and also time, the valuable time they have, especially if they're really quite ill. So you get them to the right doctor at the right moment. And then you also have the ability to virtually be with them. If I was like living in Texas, for instance, mm-hmm. and I had somebody up here that I was working with, I could easily be into that person's appointment. So the three of us would be there as opposed to two.
Now, how popular is this at this point?
There's approximately, in some stats that I recently read, that right now it's about a $7 million industry, mm-hmm. and it's predicted to grow to up like into like $20 billion.
Well, I'm calling my stock investor as soon as we hang up.
telemedicine is growing. It's big and it keeps on getting bigger. Like mm-hmm. a couple years ago, when I was first interested in it, I never saw it. I mean, I had to search for it, and now it's, you know, you type in on Google, you know, telemedicine, and you have pages.
Wow! So it is growing.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, 90. You give me a paper here that says that 90% of healthcare organizations already have, plan to have, some sort of telemedicine services. Now, I was thinking this would probably adapt itself better to the coaching or the psychological format, but what about those of us who have to touch people in order to get something done?
Well, you're not going to be doing that on telemedicine. What you rely on visuals, and in Chinese medicine, you rely on visuals quite a lot without right. before you touch them, and you rely on what they tell you. So if you need to see somebody, then it's a pinpoint appointment as opposed to somebody who might be like so far out away that they can't make it to your office, or they have some level of disability that makes it quite difficult for them to be there. And, you know, so they can get on a audiovisual type of platform, like a smartphone platform, and, you know, be present in an office. So that the part that, you know, for doing actual chiropractic work, you can't do it on telemedicine.
And I was wondering how you... that's interesting. Yeah.
But you can follow it up. I mean, you can right. do follow-up consults right. with someone, you know, as a physician. You can set up times that you're just doing the actual telemedicine platform component.
I'm Dr. Paula Sperry, and you're listening to Talking Back. Today I'm speaking with Dr. Patricia Ballone. She's a health coach, and we're talking about this kind of going back to the roots, but brand new thing, called telemedicine.
It's spreading.
Yeah.
It's spreading. You know, and where people used to, doctors used to go to people's houses. And so they don't go to, I mean, houses anymore. Very rarely do you find a doctor.
No, the patient has to go to the clinic.
Right. But what happened is when we had wars, what happened when the wars were around, you had to have hospitals because you had a lot of people that were injured and hurt.
Right.
So hence the hospital. So people went from having the doctor come to their house to going to their office or going to see them at a hospital. And so I look at telemedicine like mini hospitals coming to you.
Yeah, there you go.
And so it's going back to that like format of the doctor coming to you, but in on a more of a video conferencing aspect.
So Skype and other formats like that would lend itself. I mean, you could like actually look at the patient on the video screen, the patient can see you.
Right, but that's not HIPAA compliant.
Oh.
You know, you have to have a software program under telemedicine that is HIPAA compliant, that is geared to insecure.
A secure network,
right.
Yeah.
And, you know, in for billing and for, you know, picture taking, you know, because you can do, you know, like for instance, when a doctor sees, you know, gets someone's radiology report or sees their x-rays, those come from doctor to doctor. That's one kind of telemedicine. Another type is, you know, patient who's monitoring signs for the doctor. And that would be things like, you know, wearing a wearable device that does blood pressure, heart rate, blood glucose, you know, it also has the ability to do EKG. Mm-hmm. You know, there's other like devices such as Wi-Fi scale, mm-hmm. and also blood pressure cuffs that are HIPAA compliant, you know, that dump data into the software program, and so it's stored. And then it's available when you're either having your telephone conference, and it's at your, you know, at the doctor's fingertips, so you can have a real conversation about real time things that are happening.
Sounds like it would save time for both the practitioner and the patient.
It does, because, you know, in some instances, most consults typical in medical doctor's offices are 15 minutes. But when you get on this menu and venue for this, it's approximately 30 minutes. And they're in, so they have a consult by in a physician's office. You can, it's okay and normal to charge for a consult.
What types of things are at this point covered by telemedicine providers?
For instance, there is a study going on that the CDC has approved, and that study actually is called the National Diabetes Prevention Program, mm-hmm. and what it is it takes. And it takes people who are pre-diabetic and puts them on a program for 1 year. And on that program, they are monitored by dietitians or by doctors on the program over the year. And what they found is that, and the stat's interesting on pre-diabetes, because 86 million Americans are pre-diabetic. That means probably there's a lot of those people, those are the diagnosed ones, there's a lot of people out there who don't know
yes,
that they're pre-diabetic. Yes. Then there's an additional 29 million Americans who already have diabetes. So that's almost like one in every three people, one mm-hmm. in every four. That stat to me is staggering. But this program has been deemed and endorsed by the CDC. And every state has put it into their legislation that insurance companies have to cover something like this type of program.
Huh.
You know, and so, and they found so far from the study that, you know, it reduces the risk by 58%. That's big.
That's pretty good, yeah.
You know, and they have had stats up to like 70%.
So how do you keep the patient compliant with what you're trying to get across to them?
Well, you have appointment times, you know, so you have accountability times, and people sign up for where you would use telemedicine for emergency also, but people would have their appointed time. It's just like coming to a doctor's office. If you don't show up, most doctors still charge for that visit. And so, but it gives people an opportunity. They could be in their car and still have the conversation.
Oh, yeah,
and
sure.
And they can be more mobile, so they're not stuck having to perhaps travel a couple hours into a city or be in city traffic or have that hindrance of, you know, space. And, you know, but as long as there's someplace where they can get Wi-Fi and they can get telephone, they can be on a conference call.
Crazy.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it does sound like we do have to improve medical health care somehow. And this does sound like it's going to add, at first it wouldn't seem like it, but at least when I thought of it first, but it looks like it might just add a little bit of quality to the care that you're receiving from your physicians.
Some of those things, you know, that when you're talking about, you know, the benefits of that, part of those benefits are, for insurance coverage, is that it, there is coverage for it from insurance companies, but there's a lot of current pending legislation to support more coverage in each state. So there's an interesting article that I found on the internet that the title of it is 2017, the year of telehealth bills and telemedicine legislation. So it just shows you that it's a hot topic, mm-hmm. Up in the state capitals where they're mandating that insurance companies, you know, cover people on those type of visits. I just think that that's a big step, and it says a lot.
So all different types of providers can participate in this, except for, of course, chiropractors and massage therapists who touch people.
Well, you can still participate as a massage therapist or a chiropractor. You just won't be delivering chiropractic care. But there's other things that chiropractors do besides adjust.
True, that's
I mean,
true.
And it's big. Yeah. It's like, you know, what chiropractors do. Chiropractors aren't just chiropractors. They're primary care physicians who deal with a whole host of results from people not taking care of their spine,
mm-hmm.
right? So the brain controls and coordinates all functions. You've got a spine. From the spine, you have the nerves that go out to every tissue, organ, and cell in your body.
Very true.
You know, so it's just like if you're going to follow up with somebody because they've, you know, not just for pain, but for, you know, looking at someone who has a problem with digestion, or you have somebody who has a problem with depression, you know, you could easily, you know, because you talk to them all the time. It's okay to give them a call and involve them in telemedicine. I think it'd be really quite well received.
Now, are normal phone calls considered telemedicine? Like if I wanted to follow up, I would say I was a physical therapist and we did a bunch of exercises and I wanted to make sure that the patient was following up or to, you know, see if they had any questions. Would that be considered a visit?
Yes.
If I called the patient?
Yeah, that's a consult.
Okay.
It's a follow-up visit.
Yeah. So rather than having to go back to the office, I could do it by phone.
Right.
And would that be HIPAA compliant?
As long as you did it on the appropriate software.
Okay. So you can't just pick up your phone and...
Well, you can, you know, and you can charge for, a consult, you know, that way. But if you're going to be talking about someone's condition and making notes about, you know, what they're doing, it's probably a lot more reasonable to do it on a software program that supports being HIPAA compliant.
Okay. So that's okay. Because I know faxes can be HIPAA compliant because it goes through a telephone line.
You know, there's... When you're diagnosing, managing, and treating
mm-hmm.
somebody and you're making, you know, notes from it. I mean, because I used to call when I had my office on the Cape, I used to call people all the time, you know, how you doing, blah, blah, blah. Well, we didn't really have a big HIPAA law at that point in time either. It was a while ago. But if I was going to document that I talked to somebody and what they're doing, I think this is a good venue to do it because then you're, you know, and you got, you know, notes from, you know, like doing it. It registers the time, the amount of time that you're on the phone and the such. So
it just goes right through the software.
Mm-hmm.
Are some of the existing software companies looking into adding this as part of what they provide as service?
There's actually a lot of, I get called from a lot of telemedicine companies wanting me to look at their platform. What do I think about it? Is this something that I can add on to what I already have? The company that I found that I think has got a really good solid platform is in California. They're called VC. They're just one in like, you know, maybe 30 that I've looked at in the last year. But he's the one that really tips actually for being as young as he is, he's absolutely brilliant.
Oh.
Brilliant idea and format.
So this is a new technology pretty much that's being mm-hmm. developed then.
Right. You know, and so that there's a lot of in that industry, like for the IT industry for health, that's one of those, like, it's good for them too. Because
right.
it's a new idea. It's and then they're, you know, tidying up, because one of the issues has been initially was that as far as billing goes, some telemedicine platforms will bill out to insurance companies too.
Okay, sure. They'll take care of the billing for you.
Right.
Well, that's awesome.
You know, and some of them don't. Some of it just depends upon what the format that they have and what their clients are meeting in their need.
By the way, if you're just tuning in, this is Talking Back. I'm Dr. Sperry, and I'm speaking today with Dr. Patricia Ballone, and she's a health coach. We are speaking about kind of a new technology out there that's going to probably become very, very popular in the next 5 to 10 years, I'd imagine, called telemedicine. And how it can benefit you and your health today on WOMR 92.1 or 91.3 FM here on Cape Cod. And you can podcast this at www.womr.org anytime you want. So, Dr. Pat, I was just curious, what do you see that maybe the Gen Xers, the millennials are going to take to this, like, white on rice, or, you know, and are the old folks like myself going to be a little belligerent and resistant to it?
Well, you know, projections say that the millennials and Generation Xers like us want to have quality service too. And you can mm-hmm. have the quality and the quantity that you need. And you also get that it's fast and it's efficient and it's easy to access. Easy is the key word.
Yeah, because I'm kind of tired of calling health clinics and having to go through their phone menu for 20 minutes to leave a message for someone who calls me back a day later. And I think if you're out there listening, you know what I'm talking about. Here on the Cape, I don't know where you're listening from, but that's frequently my experience.
Or it takes, you know, you don't say the right letter at the right time yeah. or the number at the right time. The next thing you know, you're like in a different menu and you got to get back to the other one and you have to do it all over again.
Well, please tell me there's going to be a real person at the other end.
You know, no, when you connect with this, you know, when your provider time, your provider calls the patient.
Oh, okay.
You know, so if you're set up on a specific time for that, you know, when I engage with a client, I will call the client at a specific time.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually get them. Sometimes there's like a delay of 5 minutes and then I have them call me back, you know, to connect in.
Well, that's great. Yeah. So like, let's say you have a little kid and the little kid has a rash and you call up or whatever. Now, can you work visually with that rash too? Like,
right. Okay. So parent, in the pediatric portion of it, what I know to be true is that, you know, parents, you know, have, like, instead of getting in the car and racing to the hospital or racing to a doctor's office, the doctor can look from the audio visual portion of it and they can, you know, look at the rash itself. And then they can make a determination whether or not, you know, hey, you need to come in, you know, I want to take a better look at it. We need to do a biopsy. Go to the hospital, it's a medical emergency, you know, oh, that's just poison ivy, you know, use some essential oils of, you know, blah, whatever they are.
Take this prednisone,
right,
whatever it is.
Right. You know, and they can call in because there's telepharmacy too, so they don't have to leave their office so that you can actually connect, like, you know, another branch of telemedicine. You know, and on the emergency part, you know, when you're calling up, you know, you're asking this guy, like, hey, should I go to ER because I've got this, I have this breathing problem, you know, and so, you know, they can, you know, like, figure out whether or not it's a true medical emergency and you should be not talking to them and dialing 911, you know, right. Or else you should go to the hospital.
Okay.
I mean, you have a broken arm, you're going to have to go to the hospital.
Yeah, well, oftentimes you go to the emergency room and you have to wait 4 to 8 hours to be seen by someone anyway. So,
right.
Because I was thinking, my goodness, how do you get an emergency situation to a hospital fast enough with telemedicine? But
somebody asked me, and someone told me that they have like a, you know, a problem with breathing, you know, I would tell them to go to the hospital.
Right.
You know, and I had a client last year who was telling me that she was in a stage 4 of cancer. And so when I was helping her create some comfort in her last stages, there's a time when she asked me a question that, you know, I just stopped, I just put my paperwork down and I just said, you need to call your oncologist. You know, it's not, it wasn't a question for me to answer. And it was a significant question that was a kind of, more of an emergency kind of question.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, and you know that as a physician, or you should know that as a physician, you know, sometimes when that big red flag comes up, if it looks like a red flag, it is.
Yeah, right.
That's how I go.
Yeah, rule out the dangerous stuff first. Yeah. That's mm-hmm. what I always say.
Yeah.
You might be listening to this and thinking, oh, well, that'll be easier and better for me. But, you know, if there's a question, maybe just to hold your hand and get you to dial 911, mm-hmm. it's like important that, you know, you rule out the big stuff first.
Absolutely.
Am I having a heart attack or is it indigestion?
Mm-hmm.
Go to the hospital. Let them figure out if it's a heart attack or not.
Right. Exactly. Better to be safe than sorry.
Be safe. That's right. What types of doctors are engaging in this so far?
All.
Is that right?
Yeah. The people that I've encountered, a guy who's a cardiologist in Texas, for instance, and a guy who's an orthopedic. Any doctor who has to follow up the patient, because there's very few doctors that you ever go in to see and you only see once.
Right.
I mean, you might only see them once because you're gone, I'm never going to go back again.
Yeah.
But usually people have repeat visits with doctors, and doctors always are taking some tests because that's what Western medicine does, is they test a lot.
They're very good at testing.
Yeah, so I always say, go get your diagnosis, come to me, and let's figure out what we can do lifestyle-wise so that we can go from point A to point C with all the toxic chemicals, harm, and side effects that pharmaceutical drugs will wreak havoc in your body.
But if you choose to go to a Western medical type doctor and you're looking for that perfect pharmaceutical drug, you could also use telemedicine.
Right.
So the same choices are there, but...
Well, there's probably a little bit more, you know, when I think about the internet, you know, I think about those strobe lights, you know, and the center part is the internet, and then the strobe lights go everywhere, mm-hmm. you know, and there's a global application for, you know, using telemedicine. And in the UK, they call it e-health.
E-health.
Yeah. Okay. And not telemedicine.
So this sounds like it's gone worldwide already.
Yeah, it's global.
Yeah. Wow. So does that mean that if I want to consult a Chinese medicine doctor in Japan or China, I could actually do that?
I would imagine so. You'd have to figure out who the doctor is and how if they're on that system.
Wow.
You know, there's an interesting program that VC has where they have a lot of a global directory of doctors worldwide.
Hmm.
And so and they have recommendations for, you know, they feature doctors so that people can find, if they're going to say, I'm going to go live in France, how do I find somebody who can treat my situation, condition? That would be a good place to start to look.
Wow, this is going to change the face of healthcare.
It is.
Yeah.
I think that as it progresses, you know, a lot of the startup companies that are out there that have a good solid base and have good bones in their foundation, you know, those are the guys that I've been looking for.
Right.
And because it's stuff that makes sense that you would use every day, and then it's not complicated.
Yeah, and it's accessible. That's important.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd imagine.
Yeah, it makes a lot of people more accessible.
Yeah, so we may not to build all these big buildings for healthcare clinics and centers in the near future.
Yeah, it would definitely minimize, I believe, some of the ultimate goal is to minimize some of those visits that are there to save that aspect of money. But the IT portion of it, it'd be interesting to see how those brainiacs figure out how to take the software and take it up to the next level.
Well, this is up and coming, folks. There's never been a better time to consider doing something different with our healthcare system. And there are so many ways and approaches we could do it. But telemedicine sounds almost like we're going back to our roots of the doctors coming into your home to serve you there, as opposed to you having to drive miles and spend hours, you know, trying to access healthcare in some other format. So today I've been speaking with Dr. Patricia Ballone, and she's a healthcare counselor and coach. Where are you out of at this point, Dr. Ballone? Everywhere?
Well, I'm virtual. So
yes. We're virtually talking to Dr. Patricia Ballone. But she does have a cell phone number if you'd like to give her a call and find out more about telemedicine and her great work as a coach.
Yes, so my phone number is 617-901-0925.
Okay. Well, this has been a really interesting, it's really eye-opening and mind-opening. I'm going to have to turn off the recorder and just sit here for a while and digest telemedicine, because I can just see so many applications for it, for you and your health, me and my health, and for the doctors to have an easier time disseminating information and gathering information from you in the future of healthcare. You can reach Dr. Pat at askdrpat@healthteamnetwork.com as well. Check out our website. And you out there, stay healthy, so don't forget to tune into Talking Back. And in the meantime, remember to love your body. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning into Talking Back. Talking Back is heard on WOMR Radio at 92.1 FM at this time each week. If you have news or comments to share, or you would like to be a guest on Talking Back, write, call, or email this station, care of Dr. Paula Sperry, WOMR FM Radio, Post Office Box 975, Provincetown, Massachusetts, 02657. Or you can give us a call. We're at 508-487-2619 or 1-800-921-9667. We're also at www.womr.org online. Tune in next week, and until we meet again, please remember to love your body.